thank you. You are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hi, I'm Tom Savage, professional musician and songwriter and host of Leave It All on the Stage. This CFRC radio show and podcast series explores the challenges of the working musician in the 21st century, while also identifying the many joys inherent in the artist's life. Episodes feature special guests discussing a range of topics, and whether you're new to the music scene, a veteran performer, or a music fan, there's something here for you. Music equals life. Thanks for joining us. Does radio have a place in this futuristic streaming TikTok kind of world we live in? I hope so, because this show is being broadcast on the airwaves right now, but it's also in podcast format, and that speaks to the changes that have taken place with new technology. There is a disruptive aspect, but more often than not, the new doesn't replace the old. It gets added alongside, at least in terms of broadcast media. My VCR and fax machine would take issue with that statement, of course. But community radio has ebbed and flowed in popularity and struggled at times. Listeners are no doubt aware of the funding drives that take place. And I'm starting to think that anything good in this world now requires a fundraiser, from school supplies to high art. And yes, of course, radio and independent media. With AI encroaching on our humanity, community radio offers something real and something of substance. It offers opportunity for the unknown artist to be heard. It offers a bulletin board for local events and a way for citizens to connect with their communities. These are all good things, so who wouldn't want to be a part of that? Today, we are going to discuss community radio's role in our society and the health of the industry. Plus, we are going to offer an instruction manual of sorts for young musicians or older artists new to the game on how to get your music on the radio. Joining me today are two people who know their radio for sure. Barry Rook is executive director of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, where he has championed independent media, digital transformation, and policy reform since 2015. And he is in Ottawa, joining us from Zoom. And here with me in the studio is Dinah Jansen, executive director here at CFRC and producer of this very show. Thanks for being on Leave It All on the Stage. And Dinah, thanks for being on this side of the microphone.
Oh, it's always so nerve-wracking when one has to be interviewed. Even though I spend a lot of time interviewing people, it's always, oh gosh, oh gosh.
Well, now you know how I feel actually interviewing people, because I'm more used to the other side of that myself. But how has the landscape changed for community radio in our modern times? And does it still play a role in our lives in this digital era? Barry, if you want to kick off.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me here on the show. I got started in radio back in 1999 and went to radio TV broadcasting school and worked at a radio station for 7 years on and off. I worked in commercial radio and I've been here in Ottawa with the National Association now since 2015. So there's obviously been a huge amount of change from when I first, you know, found myself listening to late night hockey calls on the air going to sleep to what we see now. I think what the broadest changes are have happened in the last 10 to 15 years, and that's consumer habits. And more people are looking for exactly what they want, because there's so much opportunity now that it's really, a struggle for capturing people's attention. Whereas before, radio used to be there in the morning, at work, in the afternoons, you'd find your favorite show in the evenings. And it was just sort of always kind of there to comfort you. Not saying it's changed in that sense, but there's a lot more competition for attention. So we've definitely seen that in the last couple of years. And it definitely shows in the way that the commercial industry is operating. And the in reality, the more people that are tuning towards stations like this and others in the non-for-profit sector because they're looking for that deeper connection to the things that they love and enjoy.
Yeah, and well, I come from a generation of folks who, you know, when I was listening to the radio waiting for my top 40 countdown, I'd be holding up my tiny tape recorder to make my own bootlegs and then record my own voice, like, coming up next is Cyndi Lauper, woohoo! Yeah. So this is a generation I come from back in the 80s, where radio was just something that was in my life all the time. I'd be listening to music that I illegally taped when I was 8 years old, kind of thing. But the CFRC itself has also been in my life since the very early 90s when I was in high school. I tuned into the awesome punk rock shows and metal shows that they had airing at the time and got to learn so much about music, not only that was right here in Kingston, Ontario, but, oh, I could just go and send $5 to this dude that lives in Vancouver, recorded stuff in his garage, and get something in the mail. You'd learn about this stuff on the radio too. Radio still has that power, I think, particularly with the community connection, what we can do to lift up not only our local musicians, but hear from our own folks. Now that we're in the digital era, yeah, like maybe there's something fun about being able to just set up a playlist and then some random stuff shuffles through. And some people find that a really great opportunity to discover music, although I have skepticism when it comes to Spotify because a lot of that is now AI too.
It's like the stickiness of that, you know, adoption of the.
But I really love radio and the work that our volunteers here at CFRC do and at other stations across Canada as well. They spend time curating and really knowing their music and being able to talk about what it is that they're going to be presenting, as opposed to here's just some random stuff and then you don't really even get a connection to that kind of music. We live now in an era where people know singles, but they don't know whole albums. But I grew up in a generation where, yeah, you flipped that record over many, many times and got to know the music on it. Now it's just all about singles and Spotify that's not really well curated insofar as there's nobody tying it all together like radio does in and still does today. So, yeah, I would say other uses too for radio and why it's still relevant. Yeah, those community connections for sure. That's goes right down to supporting local music, knowing what your weather is, knowing what your local news is, having conversations with people in your community about issues in your community. But also just it's really nice to be able to turn on the radio, whether you're in your car and you don't have to surf around for stuff, or if you're a student hanging around at home studying, or you're maybe doing some housework or passively listening while you're working. It's radio still has relevance, even in the digital era.
Yeah. As far as being a tastemaker, you find you get a lot of feedback from people that say, I heard this on the radio. Like I think like even before streaming, community radio has been important in that it allows itself to program, you know, like curation, mm-hmm. as opposed to like commercial radio sort of went the way of playlisting and in Toronto or New York, and you're hearing the same thing across the country based out of one office in Toronto. Yeah. Barry?
Yeah, and I think that's been the biggest shift, right? So when the Napster came through and suddenly content was available on all different spaces, when Spotify came in and was able to, you know, on demand, have access to almost anything you wanted to hear and a couple of things you didn't know you wanted to hear. That really was the time where commercial broadcasters sort of pivoted to be like, we need to compete against that mass listening audience. So how are we able to better playlist or create the stories or the breaks and all that kind of stuff and compete with sort of the mass consumers? Whereas community radio and a lot podcasting, which is the other element that I think has come out about this, is that content curation. It's the fact that you've got someone who is an expert or has a driven passion and allows them to share and showcase their love for the work that they do, their love for the content that they're talking about, whether it's punk, jazz, blues, rock, reggae, or talking about horses, or what's happening down the street in political affairs, or whatever it might be. So I think that that's one of the most important elements that we have. And like I said, one of the reasons why more people are coming back towards what these content curators are doing and presenters, as opposed to the algorithm, because I think the algorithm continues to drive towards the biggest river available, and most people don't want to get swept up in not getting to enjoy what they really want to hear, and that's where all this sort of specialization comes into play.
And I would add to that too that campus and community radio, or as that might be called in the U.S., public access radio, still plays a huge role in day-to-day lives for people to be able to just discover new music. How many acts? Like I recently learned, the University of Washington in Seattle was the first station to ever play Nirvana. So, like a lot of huge acts actually got their start by starting out sending their singles or their EPs to campus radio. And there's a certain amount of discoverability in that. And I think that for, smaller artists or emerging artists, campus and community radio still plays a huge role to capture more audiences, I think, than Spotify might, depending on how well they do with their social media marketing or something. But oftentimes you're like, hey, it's really great to see, somebody's got a thousand hits or streams on their Spotify page, but tens of thousands of people are listening to you on the radio.
Yes.
And I think I'd be remiss by not saying that the regulatory environment allows a lot or requires a lot of that to happen. Meaning to say, if you're not familiar, most people are familiar with CanCon, the idea that there are minimum requirements for the amount of music that is produced by certified individuals in Canada on Canadian broadcast. That doesn't happen in Spotify and so on. So not only do commercial radio stations in general, and I'm just generalizing here, don't like the fact that they're required to play specific amounts of Canadian content. They want to be more free to compete a bit with the more popular stuff. The community side of things is different, where the minimums they have requirements for, we're always exceeding them. Like the viewpoint and the mandate of the organizations that are doing this work is to find out what our community wants and provide those opportunities and provide alternatives. So stations actively scan the listening dial to see what is out there and then find the gaps that are there and fill those gaps, because that's what we're supposed to do. So the regulatory requirements even have a strong impact on what goes on the air, but also how our tastemakers present the content that they have.
And indeed, and that's a really important point there. There's something on every campus community radio station, there's something for everyone. Literally, through you can look through various stations' schedules and just like, wow, this is like really out there, kind of psychedelic twee pop or something like that. Some kind of neat show that has some fusion of things. And then, okay, we're going to take some deep dives into some classical music over here, and then here's some country music, and it just goes on and on. So no matter what community you are in, your community or campus station is going to have something, some program that you're going to be like, this music is just fantastic for me, and I wouldn't have known it because the algorithm might not have sent this stuff to me, especially if it's hyper local too.
Right, if it's even on Spotify,
Yeah, well, yeah, you're not on Spotify. You're hard to
I
find.
know
Well,
some of my stuff. I
your podcast.
want this podcast is on Spotify,
Yeah,
but
ironically, on Spotify.
Has technology helped community radio, like say a station get reach outside its broadcast area? Well, like with internet broadcasts, I mean, I turn a friend of mine on to CKUA, and he listens every morning to CKUA because he just likes the programming there. And it's, back in the day, that would not happen. Do you find that happening or?
We are a campus station, so adaptability is particularly key for us, given that our largest supporters that we earn much of our operating funding from are students who are using digital products these days to access whatever media they wish and where they want to. So being able to keep up with the times is definitely a continuing, ongoing effort that we are undertaking. We started podcasting many years ago. We've had an online stream for quite some time. We've adopted multiple mobile apps so people can find CFRC where they're at anytime. Also now taking some new experimentations as well as how to put our programming into the social media realm as well. In spite of the fact that we still have to navigate what happened with cutting off our social media back in, I think it was 2022 or something like that, and then having to rebuild because we're a news-carrying organization and we can't have news happening on our social media, at least in Canada. So, going to YouTube, we're soon to launch our news programming that we carry daily into video format as well, so that way there's another access point for people to be
So
able
you can
to.
break up how you consume, like a program rather than being, I can't listen to it at 1 o'clock or so. I gotta
But the key
get it
is
later.
that whatever format, everybody that comes through our doors to learn how to do radio or do recording is still using the same equipment that our radio broadcasters are using, even if they're not necessarily going to be directly on the air broadcasting. So we have many opportunities for folks to volunteer and learn translatable skills in multimedia formats that are still relevant and within very much within the context of radio.
Right on. Good, Barry.
And I would say that we've always been an innovator or an early adopter to a number of things. When my radio show got started in 99, I learned about podcasting, and it had been podcasted since essentially the beginning, which was music. So yes, illegal on its own, and still is in its own way. And there's innovations that we've been working on to be able to make that happen. I'll go back to 2011 and 2012. I did research. I did a master's study through the University of Guelph, and I looked at how radio in Canada and around the world was using social media. So one of the very first sort of looks at Facebook and other groups like that. And yes, early adoption all over the industry, dated now, but in general, the findings were campus and community used it as an extension of their show, an extension of the community to be able to talk with those, to be able to present added content and footage to what they were doing, informing and growing a community. CBC, a little bit of that, but not as much. Across and on the commercial side of things, whether it's here in Australia or other spots that I got a chance to chat with, monetization. How do you drive money and people back to their website so that they could sell ads? That has obviously changed a bit because the way of which social media has been used, and that even leads itself into why there was money being put aside for funding, why news was blocked on big bands. I don't think we have to go into the details of all of that. But regardless of that, I think the big takeaway from it is that our sector has always been the ones that have been innovating, and driving forth those new ideas. And even at conferences, when you go to the commercial broadcasting conferences or groups, a lot of the time the response is, well, we need to be doing this live and local and connecting. And you walk out there going, just sort of laughing because that's just all we do. And it's that primary focal point, and you get a bit more of a sense of pride of it all. Now, that being said, there are still huge gaps in discoverability. And when commercial broadcasters have apps and marketing platforms and all these other elements to drive listenership and can kind of control what can and can't go on your speaker dial on your car and all those other elements, it means that it's very hard to find what we do. So we've been behind in those types of elements. We've been harder to find the data in which we can use to prove our impacts. We know it's there. It's just a cost point and a technology challenge as well. So those are things that in the association world here, we're attempting to try to find solutions for to help a show go from, say, your local area to be a broader show. I use reggae as a fantastic example. Almost every community radio station has a brilliant reggae show. There is no reggae on pretty much any commercial radio
No.
station. But how do you know what the station in Amherst Island or Belleville or Ottawa or Montreal has if there's no connection point to it, outside of listening in Kingston? So there's those elements that are also still missing, that would help bring a little bit more of what we do to the forefront. And we're actively working on it, but time and money is
Time, money,
always the challenge when it comes to campus community in Canada.
But in terms of adaptability and making use of social media, like CFRC, for example, the last couple of years, we've been working more to streamline our social media presence, especially after we had to rebuild our social media after the loss of both our previous CFRC Instagram and Facebook handles. One of the things that we spend a lot of time on, like daily, we have posts going, just a standing post, like highlighting one of our programs. And we, make sure that all of our programs that are locally done are getting talked about. And here's what they'll be playing, but even just some general information. So folks who might not be familiar with this particular jazz program or that particular folk pop show, we'll have an idea of who's hosting it, when it's on the air, et cetera, et cetera. We also interact with the community by highlighting when guests are coming on the air. So, hey, this musician is coming in to talk about this, or this community organization is coming in to talk about their new fundraiser, or something like that. And then being able to collaborate with them, help them reach new audiences through our platforms, but then they share content and people discover CFRC through those channels as well, if they had not heard of us before. And then, yeah, and also just sharing concerts and events listings as well is something we do every single day on our social media, as well as on our airwaves and our websites. So people are able to also just see what's going on, but also know that, hey, I want to know what's going on. CFRC is going to tell me.
Yeah, and that's huge comparison to commercial radio. It's just not there unless you're buying an ad.
Do you know how many times I promote your stuff every week?
I
You're
know.
everywhere.
Well, I'm always listening to CFRC all the
Tom
time.
FM.
So
Tom FM.
no, by an interesting thing about commercial radio is just from my experiences of I would go on stations to promote things. If I had a new album out or something. But the interesting thing about commercial radio is they wouldn't play the song from the recorded song from the album because it didn't match with the playlist in Toronto. So I could go on with my acoustic guitar and play that song live, or they could play 20 seconds of playing it out to a recording, but they will not play the whole song. And
That's so weird.
really, I think except for K-Rock in town that I know of, they used to have like an hour on Sunday night where they would play local music, but that's an hour. Yeah. But I just wanted to ask a question. I read recently, but this was out of the US, about how there's kind of a surge in people who are volunteering or wanting to host programs. And I was just wondering if you see that happening in Canada too, like the growth and interest in community radio, Barry.
Yeah, the states are really interesting because of the attack that the Trump administration has put on. So, with defunding of the public broadcasting corporation there, and the trickle down elements that it's had to in other areas, and the massive political elements, there's been an uptake in people making sure that their voices are heard, both verbally and through pocketbooks, by donating to stations and volunteering at stations. We saw a drop of around 40% of our volunteers due to COVID. A lot of them have not returned, so our numbers still remain lower. The staffing numbers within the Canadian sector are a little bit higher, and that's typically because of the additional funding around news that has come into play. So, overall, there's been a somewhat standard, steady element of what's coming in, and so on. But it does mean that more people are being forced to do more with less resources. And that's one of the reasons why we've got a large awareness campaign and whatnot happening. But what it does mean is that when people move and are interested, they have a wide range of the things that they're interested in. And like Dinah said, it might not just be about being on the radio, but it's about making sure that they're able to do a podcast or help with the station or promote. So there's a little bit more uptake in that element. But there's also more uptake in communities wanting community radio to be there, because the commercial has withdrawn from those communities and left these gaps in media and news coverage. So I have around a dozen radio stations that are looking to apply for a license or amend their licenses to get started. There was a freeze on that, and that's opened up. So we've starting to see that come through, although the full updates to the Broadcasting Act that happened a few years ago haven't fully been implemented. So we do expect more and more stations to actually get started up, because the community is saying, we need access to local, we need access to live, we need access to information. And these are so valuable to the community being successful in the things that it does.
And I'd have to say that in terms of concerns about maybe the numbers are dropping in terms of numbers of people walking through the door and wanting to start their own radio show, we have fewer people than we had pre-pandemic. That's definitely the case. And during the summer, of course, many of our students are away for the summer and on hiatus. So we're doing some rebroadcasts and a little more syndicated programming while some of our volunteers are taking on extra time on the airwaves too. So we're able to adapt that way. But one of the things just to sort of keep in mind with the idea that folks aren't interested necessarily in doing radio, it's also about time. And what we try to do too is try to make things work. Like Tom's show that we're doing right now is an occasional program. Tom doesn't have the time to come in. He's a working musician. Tom can't be here every single week to and bring in guests and coordinate everybody all the time. So we look for other ways to make sure that there is quality programming coming out. But sometimes these might be just occasional things or one-off things too. CFRC and many other stations do this, where we have, special slots where special programming can happen, so people can still come in and get the radio experience. They can come in and share something about, hey, my new album just came out. You guys got to listen to it. And then we do an interview with them, and then we drop the whole thing on the air. Or a local potter is coming in and talking about their fine art or something like that. So if people can't actually dedicate themselves to a weekly radio show on a volunteer basis, the doors are always open at the station, and I imagine many others too, where, hey, I've got something that I'd really like to be able to talk about. Is there even a possibility we could set something up to record even a few episodes? Just all people need to do is just make the outreach to their local station
Yeah, and that's
and
great.
find out.
That's like that flexibility and like access.
We are not constrained by the corporate overlords in Toronto or wherever telling us, certainly dictating what we play on the air. Good golly, no. But also we have an interest in being a community, an accessible, free place where people can share their talent, their creativity, their insights, their ideas.
Well, speaking of sharing talent, let's go with helping musicians get their music on the radio. So if you could start us off, Barry, with what the general process if to get a band just put out a record, their first record, what do they do?
Absolutely. Yeah. On-air talent is one pathway to get on the air, but you need the music as well. So there are a number of ways in which people can get on the air. Most of them involve contacting a station or using a service that gets content to the air. Now, I don't want to get too technical, but you need to be able to have a license or part of the copyright elements in order to actually go on the air. It's different than if you were listening to or buying something at home. So I think I'll just start with that. Meaning, if I host a radio show and I find something I like on Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Bandcamp, technically, I'm not allowed to put it on the broadcasting side of things because it hasn't been given the legal permissions to do so. Think of it this way. If I bring somebody over to watch a movie in our living room, that's in-home consumption. If I set up a sheet and project it out to the rest of the street and we have a street party, that's broadcasting.
Yeah.
And you need to have the rights for that. So there's a distinction for it. So creating a content, a great song, putting it on YouTube, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, does not mean that you're going to get picked up by the radio. So you have to do that extra little bit of work. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a number of ways to do that. The first way is to use a service. So there are services such as Play, MPE or Yangaroo or DMDS. These are music distribution services that are designed for you to upload content. That group then takes it and attempts to get it into the hands of radio stations. Those services are the commercial services okay. that are available. You will end up paying a decent amount of money for it. And Dinah, I'll put you on the spot. Have you used those services before, and are they any good?
Well, I will refer back to you because there's a much cheaper way to go, the Earshot Distro. So plug, plug, plug.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Here in Canada, developed by the NCRA and Barry's team.
So that was exactly the fact that we found that those commercial services were targeted toward commercial radio. So if you think that there's an opportunity as a musician to break on commercial radio, yes, you will need to go through some of those services to be able to get access to it. But what we'll talk about next around connecting to local stations is relevant as well to the commercial side of things as the community, but not as relevant. The second part is Contact is, as you said, Earshot Distro, which is a service that we made specifically for music distribution to radio stations. So if you go to earshot-distro.ca, there's an online portal. Think of it as a giant library. You create an account. You upload your music. Your music then goes into this large library or database. We have 100 plus radio stations and many of their programmers have access to that database. They then log in or receive emails about what content has been put up on a weekly basis. And you can browse as you would with a library. I only want this genre. I want what's new. I want what's created by these specific characteristics. It's all searchable. There's approximately 65,000 Canadian content songs on there. You don't have to meet the CanCon requirements, but you have to be uploading from Canada in the system.
Okay.
So it is all Canadian based. So no offense to our American and or others around the world. You have to do it within Canada and have a Canadian credit card. We do charge. We charge a very small amount. It's $7 a song, $50 an album, which is anywhere between 8 and 20 songs. One-time payment, that just allows us to manage and operate the system. And it all goes into that large database that everybody gets access to. When you upload your content, you do also have some ability to see who's listening to it. So it identifies what radio stations have listened to it. Have they listened? Have they downloaded? Are they putting it on the air? We don't have a full technology connection to when it gets played, on the station to verify that. That is a plan of what's coming. As I said, money and time and capacity are always a challenge, but those opportunities are there. So there's quite a few artists that use that system. Many of the radio stations use this as their primary source of capturing new content, and it also includes the ability for back catalogs to go up. So you can also include your back catalog to find what was available in the past. So that's Earshot Distro and as a generalized process. The full thing is at our earshot-distro.ca. There's a full report on this because we went through all the radio stations and asked them what they want. And here's just a couple of those tips, right? So if you're sending content in online, write music submission in the subject line. Easy for you to be able to pick up. Make sure everything is properly labeled. You and Dynan, you know how frustrating it is when something comes in and it's archive.zip and you unzip it and it says track one, track two, track three, and it has no metadata or anything of that nature. It's the easiest way to get kicked off and forgot about. So make sure that you are labeling all of the information with full metadata. If you're a local artist, write that. Say you're a local artist, you're going to get more opportunities to be heard because they want to hear that. And what I would recommend is go station to station and find the station that you like, go through their playlists, go through their programming schedule, reach out not only to the station, but reach out to the hosts that you think might be a best fit. Let them know who you are, give them contact, give them permission to air your material, offer to give them a voiceover or a shout out, come in and say hi. Those types of communications really take the process to a much more personal level. And of course, when you're friends, you're more likely to get spots on the air. So if you're sending an email, make sure you're not sending Spotify links or download like that type of thing. You need to be able to get the product, what you're doing in an easy to do space. Don't send one song and then be like, here, ask me if you want the rest. Provide the whole release available at one time. They don't really want to come back to it. Same thing with individual songs. Make sure if it's an album, it's a full album, you're doing it right. If you can include things like if you're CanCon or not, what it sounds like, bios, make sure any artist artwork is resolution, release dates, tour info, all that kind of stuff. And remember, try to make that little bit of a connection with the individual host or the radio station. They will want to come back to have those conversations and make sure you're being showcased, especially in the local areas. So there's all of that, and you can learn a lot more, including our charts and so on. It's all at earshot-distro.ca.
Right on.
From a hyper-local perspective here at CFRC, we also still accept physical media, so vinyl, tapes, and excuse me, CDs, but we also accept digital music too. 21 years ago, when I started here at CFRC, our new shelf with all the vinyl and CDs was always just replete and bursting at the seams, literally. But few and far between nowadays with the physical media, because musicians know that one, pressing physical media costs a lot, but also mailing it out costs even more these days too. So if we find things coming in digitally more, which is also very easy to well, store, but also catalog and make things more retrievable. So we do appreciate it when we get physical media and the EPKs and press kits that would come with them as well.
I have to speak from experience that I've sent in digitally, and then people request the physical media, because I live in the area, I bring it down, and then one host would take the CD home, and then another host would ask for that CD. So I'm sure I don't mind. It's like, if you really like that, that's awesome. But yeah, the ability to do that is great.
Yes. Yeah, so, and we love it when, for example, local musicians or touring musicians who come in, they might just, here, take some of our music too, and then we can literally add it to our library or catalogs instantly. But you know, accepting the music from the people wherever they may be—that's one of the primary things that we do on a day-to-day basis. But community and campus radio stations like CFRC play an integral role in supporting local, particularly emerging musicians, on a daily basis. Not only are we playing their music, we're inviting them in for interviews. We are promoting their shows. So there's a difference between somebody streaming your music, but then having people actually attend your performance downtown or at whatever venue.
Yeah, and there's that connection. Like, I mean, you can throw your dates up on Spotify, but it's not really the same thing as having someone say, go see this show, or this band's playing down the street.
Yeah, or some of our hosts who attended a show. So if I went to Tom's show last week or something like that, oh my gosh, it was face melting. You wouldn't believe the harmonies that were going on, but be able to talk about that on the air. And then some listener's going to be like, oh, I'm going to go check out this guy the next time he's going to be playing.
Sort of that, it's that word of mouth.
Yeah. So that's where the community connection really comes in, especially too when we have the emerging, particularly young and emerging folks who are just getting their start and still trying to capture audiences beyond their, Instagram or TikTok accounts. But yeah, we're doing those exclusive interviews, promoting their stuff on across radio, website, social media as well. So yes, there's this big concert coming up. You should check it out. CFRC also applies for municipal grants, arts grants. So we offer occasional paid residencies where we have musicians coming in. We have local artist Savannah Shea joining us in a couple of weeks to give a songwriting workshop for youngsters who are just starting out. We'll be hitting Tom up here for some fun workshop sometime soon too.
You're answering a lot of my questions here with the information, but we should wrap this up. But I want to ask Barry what's next for NCRA and anything in the works. I know you hinted at improvements with earshot and stuff, but any last words?
Well, I mean, there's always a lot going on right now in the world. So there's a large campaign. It's called MyCRI.ca. It's this community radio initiative. We're asking for core and stable funding from the government to help make sure that the stations can be operational and sort of move away from sort of the emergency situation that we're in, which is often trying to ensure that there's enough people, enough capacity, enough money to operate, to step out from the always staying afloat to start going more so in the directions that we do the best work at, which is why the communities want us there. There's asks for national advertising and provincial advertising. There's emergency broadcasting work that we're involved in. So there's all sorts of these broad projects that we're working on. A number of updates to the music distribution platform and project there. And interestingly enough, the community radio initiative we're about to launch, we're going to try to unleash the music industry itself on the awareness of the importance of what community radio is doing. So if you're an artist or a musician, you can find out how to be able to do that on that website, mycri.ca, and reach out to your local member and ask them to help support as we go forward. So there's a lot of that coming out as well.
Great. Dinah, you talked a bit about what's going on here at CFRC, but any other thoughts of things? I know there's been some renovating and things going on in the station.
Yes. Well, we're just finishing another massive reno project. Thanks so much to our donors. And we're going and we'll be putting out some more news about this in the coming months. But we'll be having a ribbon cutting studio naming, because the lead donor is going to have the studio named after them. They have supported the station perennially for years. We're going to have a ribbon cutting, so that way people who donated to the station can actually come in and see this is what your money has helped support. We had a 40-year-old audio arts R17 console that has been kicked out, and we've got a new Angry Audio console that's in there. Whole new thing. But yeah, donating to your campus and community radio station, whether it's right here in Kingston or our good friends over at CJAI, or wherever people might be sourcing this as a podcast, because have a huge fan base everywhere, Tom. Support your campus community radio station. That's really critical often to just even station operations, literally keeping the lights on, making sure that you have working modern equipment, and equipment is expensive. And, you know, if there's staff too, we need to make sure that people are getting paid, and ultimately ensuring that the infrastructure is in place to allow opportunities for community members to still be able to come in, share their voices and perspectives authentically, connect with their neighbors and chat about things that are important with them, present the music that they love. We don't have the benefit of, the corporate office dumping millions of dollars into our facility. In some cases, some of us would think that would be great, but also
strings attached.
a lot of strings. All campus community radio stations operate on the fringes. We can really present anything that the volunteers that power our stations bring forth. Without being told you must play Taylor Swift at the top of the hour, the same song every hour, while also our folks are able to talk about things that are interesting to them, play the music that is of interest to them as well as their audiences. And also, yeah, it's great that you can also have something new every day. I look at our logs often. It's not very often we have repeats even either.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys, for being on the show, and really appreciate it.
Oh, but wait a second. We have Barry in the space.
Okay.
Mr. Rook, what's your song request?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Who's on the top of your Spotify?
You know what? Tom, I'd love to hear a song that you created that you would have loved to have played the last time you were at a station and they said no. So I'm going to put that back on you. So what would that be?
I think this is almost 10 years ago when I really went for it with the record, and I did get that commercial radio promotion in the U.S. and it was very, very expensive, and I don't recommend it. I prefer Earshot for sure. But that song was Burnt by the Sun off of my record, Everything Intertwined, in 2017. So you could play that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm glad we have a chance to be able to connect here. We'll talk to you later. Bye now.
Thanks again to our special guests and our listeners for joining me on Leave It All on the Stage today. Be sure to stay tuned to CFRC 101.9 FM for our next show, and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite streaming platforms, YouTube, or on my website, tomsavage.ca, where you can also sign up for the Leave It All on the Stage newsletter and get the latest news on my music projects, access exclusive music, and read more about my thoughts on the life of a professional musician. Want to join me in a conversation? Reach out through the website. In the meantime, support your local artists and have a great day.
such hard work, but it's nice work if you can get it. And for all you know, we were meant to be right here, staring down the future like we're staring down the barrel of a gun. And with every passing moment, it's becoming abundantly clear, we can jump into the water and let ourselves get burned by the sun. Well, I don't know very much about letting you in. There is no competition, no one's gonna win. But I wanna win you, baby, I wanna win you anyhow. This closeness is the only thing that I wanna feel. You know all my secrets, there's nothing left to reveal. And you can hurt me if you wanna, if you're gonna do it, please do your worst. And for all, staring down the barrel of a gun. And with every passing moment, it's becoming abundantly clear, we can jump into the water or let ourselves get burned by the sun. But when I lay it down for you, you can get the gist. If we're all here for a reason, you're a good enough reason for me. I could see us making babies and putting in time, picnics in the park with a bottle of wine. Time unfolds before you know it, the moment's gone. Staring down the barrel of a gun. And with every passing moment, it's becoming abundantly clear, we can jump into the water and let ourselves get burned by the sun. We can jump into the water and let ourselves get burned by the sun.
Crippled by decisions and the slamming of doors, I've been beaten to a pulp, come crawling back for more. Nothing really ever blows my mind anymore. Nothing really seems to get you out of my head. I've been drinking a week straight and laying here in bed. I'm beginning to believe that I've been somehow misled. Nothing really seems to get you out of my head. I don't know what I would do if you said you'd be mine. It seems that I can only bide my time. Stars were meant to shine. The thought
sent shivers down my spine. Everyone and everything is intertwined. No one that we lose ever really goes away. They only change their form and linger on within the grave, preserved in memory as we face another day. No one that we lose ever really goes away. I've been crippled by decisions and the slamming of doors. I've been beaten to a pulp, come crawling back for more. Nothing really ever blows my mind anymore. Nothing really ever blows my mind anymore.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Combinations, a fully self-produced one-man band release from Plune. Written, performed, and produced entirely by the artist, the track blends the experimental spirit of Beck with a raw, stripped-down folk rock edge reminiscent of Neil Young. Learn more about the artist and keep up with the latest by following them at Plune Music on Instagram. And if you're a local musician who would like airplay and social media coverage on our channels, complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit Kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Combinations by Plune on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Thank you. Democracy Now.
Whoever wins with AI is going to win. That's how big it is. So it's bigger than the internet ever was. It's bigger than anything ever was. So I don't want to restrict. I know many of these people. I don't want to restrict them from doing great work.
President Trump says he doesn't want to restrict the AI industry, despite